I guess we probably should talk about Iran. Look, let me just frame what's going on. So at the latest point, we know that the U.S. has at least 150 planes near or over Iran right now, a dozen military ships in the Middle East. U.S. Embassy in Beirut just evacuated what they called non-essential personnel.
I was going to mention that.
We have the two carrier groups are already there. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who's currently Dan Kane, or Raisin Kane is his apparently his nickname. He's been publicly telling the press everything's going to be cool if we decide to go after Iran. There's nothing that they can do about it. But privately warning President Trump that yes. there's a risk of high casualties if the U.S. does this.
Did you see the reason for that?
I was going to ask you that. What is the reason for that?
None of our allies are helping us. Not a single one of them.
Well, why would they? I mean, this is a gratuitous attack, exactly. Just like Iraq was.
You know, a war of choice is one thing, but this is gratuitous. You're right.
And I mean, there's not even been any attempt to gin up a casus belli, right? And then I thought this part, I really wanted to pick your brain about this part, John. So he was also privately worried about depletion of stockpiles. Now, John, you and I are both in our low 60s. I've never heard of the U.S. government being in danger of running out of munitions before. Is this because we gave so much shit to the Israelis?
To the Israelis, yes, it is. And we just haven't had a chance to manufacture and refill the supply.
So we not only participated in financing and arming a genocide against the people of Gaza on behalf of Netanyahu and his bloodthirsty regime, we also imperiled American national security and our ability to project power and to protect ourselves. Is that basically the story?
Yeah, we put ourselves in danger.
That's fucking insane.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So, it looked.
May I interrupt you for one second?
Please.
I got to say something about Israel. I've been obsessed with the clips that Tucker Carlson has been putting out on social media about his trip to Israel. You know, he met with Mike Huckabee at the airport. Huckabee wouldn't have him into the embassy. And Tucker was, you know, allowed to enter Israel. He interviewed the Greek Orthodox Patriarch, Theophilus III. He interviewed the Catholic Archbishop of Jerusalem. Huckabee would not have him in the embassy. Huckabee had the traitor Jonathan Pollard into the embassy, but not Tucker. And then, as they were leaving Israel, the Israelis grabbed two of Tucker's producers. A man and a woman. The woman, they let go. The man, they were asking him like things like, who did you meet with? What did they say? What questions did you ask? Let me see your phone. I want to download your phone. Who do you talk to on a daily basis? What's Tucker's position on XYZ? And the guy wouldn't answer any of the questions. So the Israelis came out and told Tucker, just get on your plane and go. We'll put him on the plane when we're done with him. And Tucker's like, absolutely not. You're not kidnapping my producer. And this kid is like 24 years old, 25 years old, panicked. The Israelis were intimidating. And Tucker refused to leave. And finally, they kicked him out and kicked him loose and said, okay, the kid's free to go. But the Israelis, you know, either we're at the point now where you're either with them. And when I say with them, I mean 1,000% with them. Or you're an enemy of Zionism and you're anti-Semitic. And I think that we are just about at a tipping point where the Israelis will have done themselves irreparable damage politically in the United States. There are people who consider themselves or have always considered themselves to be, you know, pro-Israel, if not Zionist, pro-Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's because they never really paid very close attention to the issue.
Right.
And now they are. And they don't like what they see.
Yeah, John, I think we're past that point already.
Do you?
I don't think there's coming back. The Israelis are, I mean, the AIPAC lobby in this country is so desperate, and it reeks, you know, you following their socials and following the socials of their allies in Congress, you know, you can just, they're scared, you know, they know, you know, they are one administration away from really just not having the same relationship with the U.S. as they always had. I don't know how that's going to look. I don't know if that would be a Buttigieg or a Newsom or someone else, but, or even a Republican maybe.
You know, a friend of mine said, I'm sorry to interrupt you. A friend of mine said something interesting on social media yesterday. And he said, you know, we're all up in arms about Netanyahu and the way he's manhandling the U.S. government. And, you know, Donald Trump is falling into place and just doing as he's told. Newsom has said nothing.
No.
Shapiro has said nothing. Kamala Harris has said nothing. Bernie Sanders has said nothing. Mm-hmm. AOC has said nothing. Hakeem Jeffries has said nothing. The Democrats are completely implicated. It's as simple as that.
No, I mean, that is true. And, you know, the progressive base of the Democratic Party, they're watching. They're paying attention.
Well, and did you happen to see the after action report that the DNC wrote? Why did we lose the election in 2024? It was kept from the American people, of course. These things usually are released. This time it was not released. And finally, yesterday, somebody leaked it. And the reason why the Democrats lost the election to Donald Trump is because they would not take a position on Israel, standing up to the Israelis. And so Democratic voters stayed home.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. People sat on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should have voted for Jill Stein, in my opinion. But
yeah, I agree.
John, last week you said that you talked to someone who in a position to know, to saying that the attack on Iran, I mean, I think it's definitely more likely than not to happen, right? I mean, I think at this point we're at, you know, war fever is at a high pitch. Today is like kind of like roughly ish when we were thinking it might happen.
Yes.
Do you think you think it could be like, so do you think Trump is so theatrical that he might announce like sort of Greg Stilson, like at the speech tonight, the missiles are flying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God, you know, I just rewatched that movie, not 3 weeks ago. The Dead Zone. The book was even better than the movie.
The movie's great, though.
The movie's great.
One of Christopher Walken's best performances.
You know, which proves that he can do anything.
Yeah.
Comedy, drama, he can do anything. Lead actor, supporting actor, makes no difference.
True.
Sure, it's possible. But somebody said something to me yesterday that kind of bothered me. And they said, you got your information from somebody in the White House. And I said, yes. Maybe the White House was using you, knowing that you would say something publicly, just to see what the public reaction to it would be.
Maybe.
And I said, yeah, I could have been used. Sure.
I mean, yeah, there's no way to know that.
By all the most recent accounts, Trump is going to wait for the next round of talks on Saturday. The likelihood is that he'll say the talks failed, the Iranians won't concede, and then we hit them on the weekend.
Well, the Iranians can't concede. No, I mean, not what we're asking is just not possible for them to agree to. So, I mean, I don't think any Iranian government could. Want to support the show with style? Go to deprogram.live and check out our merch. That's deprogram.live, or check out the description below. Thanks for watching.